Many, many people have experienced the benefits of drinking all-natural Life Change Tea. The unique blend of 8 herbs helps detoxify your body so you can live a healthier life. Numerous testimonies have been given about the benefits of drinking Life Change Tea. So, are you drinking Life Change Tea? Interested? Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Many are so impressed with our product, they order a year's supply. And why not? When they do, they receive 2 months free. That's a $70 savings. The body is meant to heal itself. Sometimes a body just needs a little help. Get the tea at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. This is not an ordinary green tea, and it's not available in stores. This tea helps with digestive problems, acid reflux, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and as talk show host Jerry Doyle says, it'll make you as regular as a baby bird. Enjoy your life. Get Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore. Senses not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Hi, this is Dave Hodges, the Common Sense Show, and you are joining the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Happy New Year. We have a lot to look forward to. We have come a long way, ladies and gentlemen, in terms of choosing what I think will be a man of the people. We have finally elected a president instead of selected a president. And we have a show along those lines that's going to celebrate some of those events. And we're also going to delve into some other areas that we really need to find out more about. Now, tonight's broadcast is pre-recorded, and I have pre-recorded a series of interviews in this previous week leading up to New Year's Day so I could spend time with my family, but I still wanted to bring everyone original content. So I've interviewed Doug Hagman, and we got a lot to say about how the New World Order is trying to take down the most powerful nations on Earth. It's not just America, and we're going to talk about the mechanism on how they're doing it. I'm also going to be interviewing economist Robert Kudla, who's going to talk about the economic challenges that Trump is going to be facing, and they are not insignificant. Also, I'll be introducing you again to my friend Ronnie McMullen, something we don't talk a lot about on the show, but we're going to talk about the possibility of ET disclosure under Donald Trump. Now, hold on. No, I haven't jumped off the deep end, but we are going to discuss the possibility if they're real, but more importantly, we're going to talk about whether or not this could be a ruse for a false flag attack, something that we have discussed many times before in print on thecommonsenseshow.com. So we are going to be looking at that with Ronnie McMullen. Also, we are going to be joined by Paul Martin. There have been some big developments this week that have resurfaced an issue that I talked about in October, and that seems to be the fact that troops are being stationed outside metropolitan areas to cordon off the areas should we go into massive civil unrest or even civil war. This is very disturbing. And Paul Martin and I are actually going to talk about this particular issue as we revisit it again. So we hope that you'll enjoy the show tonight. Don't forget, we are brought to you by Renaissance Precious Metals. And Renaissance Precious Metals will help you get ready for the aftermath of the coming economic collapse. Right now, you can trade your soon-to-be worthless cash into a steady supply of gold and silver, precious metals. And then when the smoke clears, you can make decisions on what to do with those precious metals. But gold is the only thing that has historically held its value. I'd encourage you to give Steve a call tomorrow. He'll be open. And his number is 486-586-4842, Renaissance Precious Metals. Also, we are brought to you by ReadyMadeResources.com. And if you need anything in the prepping domain, this is your guy. Bob Griswold, you need to give him a call. I call him Mr. Prepper. He's America's Prepper. Go to readymaderesources.com. He's got everything from water filtration to night vision, anything you need at all. Bob Griswold has it at readymaderesources.com. Also, we're brought to you by Numana Foods, and I have a proud association with Numana. Numana is saving America one meal at a time. Don't let the globalists use food against you as a weapon, because they will lure you in, and they'll use food to do it. They practiced it in Operation Mountain Guardian. Don't fall victim to this. Go to numana.com/Hodges, and for a short time, take 5% off your purchase price using the coupon code Hodges, NOV5. Again, that's numana.com/Hodges. And finally, we're also brought to you by Health Masters, healthmasters.com. You know, I swear by them. You've heard me talk about Dr. Ted Brewer, how he nursed me back to health with his supplements with regard to my knee injury, with regard to my blood sugar count. Doug Hagman had similar issues, well documented. He's got the Hodges protocol. He's got the Hagman protocol, and he's got your protocol. You're going to want to go check out these great products, because when the proverbial poop hits the fan, you're not going to be getting prescriptions from your doctor. You better learn to take care of yourself, and you better learn to educate yourself quickly and what you need to do to survive. Go to healthmasters.com, and anything that you order, if you put in the coupon code 5, the number 5, Hodges, you'll get 5% off. What a deal. Here for the holidays. Happy New Year to everybody, and we hope you enjoy the show. Hi, everybody. This is Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show, where we're freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. And on the line with me is my friend and colleague, Doug Hagman, who's also a guest on my show on a weekly basis, along with his son, Joe, that make up the team, the Hagman and Hagman Report, which is listened to right here on Global Star Radio Network, is part of our great broadcast team of this network. And Doug, welcome to the show, and Happy New Year, and hope you're having a happy holiday.
Yeah, Happy New Year to everyone, all the listeners, and I hope everyone had a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. It's good to be with you, Dave.
Yeah, it's great to be with you, too. Well, Doug, let's get right to the point here, because our time is short for the volume of material we want to cover. But you had mentioned to me you had a concern over a UN resolution. Let's go ahead and talk about that.
Well, you know, Israel is absolutely furious, as well it should be, the nation and its leaders, over the passage of Security Council Resolution 2334, which says its settlements in the West Bank has no legal validity. It constitutes a flagrant violation under international law and a major obstacle to the vision of the two states living side by side, the Arab and the Israeli state. And essentially what's happened here is, with astounding, I don't even know what you would, how you would classify this. I can't even find the adjectives to describe it, except to say this is a stab in the back by Obama, by the United States, by Kerry, I shouldn't say stab in the back, it's a stab in the heart of Israel, because this is really the first time. And no one is really understanding the significance of this. This is the first time that the United States refused to veto a resolution on Israel. And it's a shameful display of Muslim, a shameful display of Muslim interests over our friends in the Middle East, our only friends in the Middle East, Israel. And I think people have to understand, too, this the scenario that this paints, or that the infrastructure, the architecture that this builds, is what could be described as biblical in nature, and that is the Psalm 83 war, whereas in the Bible, Psalm 83 talks about a confederation of Arab nations that come against Israel in the end of days. Now, even if you're not a Bible-believing Christian, if you look at the Bible as a historical document alone, this should give everyone with a pulse, pause to be very concerned over what Obama, what Kerry did, and what Hillary Clinton and Soros and all the others who had girded up this infrastructure, which we have, what they have done. The United States abstained, of course. What we're talking about is the abstention on the resolution from, I don't know, a week and a half ago, allowing it to pass rather than vetoing it, as it usually does with these types of resolutions. And it's overly critical of Israel. And by the way, the this led to U.S. Ambassador Daniel Shapiro being summoned by Netanyahu back to Israel. So this is astounding. This is newsworthy, and this will have an effect, I believe, on everybody.
Well, I agree with you. This is a lot more than a condemnation of Israel's conduct and claims on the West Bank. This cuts to the heart of what could be coming next. And what I mean by that, Doug, is these resolutions, when they're not obeyed, and Israel certainly isn't going to fall into line with this, they can often lead to economic or political sanctions. And then we look at this, could this be a precursor to war? What do you think?
Oh, you know, I think so. And this is so, this is, to me, we are looking at a multi-dimensional battle here. I could say like three-dimensional chess, if anyone's ever played that or tried to play that. This is what we're engaged in. We're looking at a multi-faceted battle here that we're in, which we are engaged in. And for all the talk about Trump being on the side of Russia, for example, Russia came against Israel in this case as well, if you look at the players in this. So Trump said, look, after January 20th, I'm going to change things. Things are going to be different. That might be so. However, that would pit him in direct opposition of Putin in Russia. So for people to say, well, Trump's on the payroll of Putin, or he's in the back pocket of Putin, or vice versa, is absolutely astounding to me in light of this particular political maneuver. The other thing, too, is the blowback. And I think a series of events, Dave, have been set in motion by this this refusal of the United States to veto this, whereas I don't believe certain things can be walked back in this case. So, yeah, we're approaching more of a war footing, I think, than ever before, and it was caused by, in my view anyway, it was caused by Obama. It was caused by Kerry. It was caused by the globalists that are pulling the strings of the people like Obama, Kerry, and, of course, Samantha Powers for the UN. So how this could happen, we can see how it could happen, but no one is looking at the potential ramifications from this, Dave. And it's sickening on so many levels, and it's just beyond any comprehension. And this is not, we're not talking about Zionism, by the way. We're not talking about this political Zionism. We're talking about pure biblical Israel here and their right for that land in that area.
Well, you know, there are people who will make this into a Zionist issue, but we're in complete harmony on this issue. This is a social, political, economic, military maneuver. This has nothing to do with philosophy. One of the things, Doug, that I look at on this is a move towards war, as I mentioned. And then if you subscribe like I do, and I don't know if you do or not, but I believe that the assassination, for many reasons, of the Turkish ambassador, the Russian ambassador to Turkey, was a CIA op, and it was designed to create a Archduke Francis Ferdinand scenario that led to World War I. And then I believe that this airplane, the military airplane that was taken down, is also a CIA operation designed to push Putin closer to war. Certainly Hillary Clinton's announcement in the second debate that she was going to enforce a no-fly zone. You look at this, everything that this administration has done, everything the establishment has done, has been designed to provoke Putin into war. against the United States, and I also see the divide coming here with Israel. I think this situation falls right into this genre, Doug, and Obama seems intent on starting the Third World War before he leaves office.
You know, you're exactly right. And if we can visit for a little bit on the Russian ambassador that was assassinated, of course, the 22-year-old assassin, he graduated. You got to look at the timing of all this, because, and I think that this play, this is all part of the bigger picture as well. Americans probably don't know or don't haven't really paid attention, for example, that Russia, Iran, and Turkey had a conference over Syria. I think this was 10 days ago or 2 weeks ago now. And what they did in this conference was they were attempting to broker a peace deal within Syria. And this was outside of the American / U.S. State Department / CIA involvement. In direct opposition of U.S. CIA and Western countries and NATO involvement. So here's what's shaping up. You've got Russia, Iran, and Turkey that are attempting to broker peace in Syria. You've got the United States, and by that I mean Obama, Kerry, the globalists that back those two. Of course, our representative to the United Nations, the CIA, as I said, and other Western countries like the UK, France, and other countries, and NATO, that are now in direct opposition. And just 24 hours after, or 24 hours before this meeting, this summit that took place, unprecedented summit, you had this 22-year-old assassin who graduated from the police academy just 2 years before, not likely a high-level up kind of player, walk into where this Russian ambassador was actually speaking in this art gallery, bypass security, and shoot him and others a bunch of times. Okay, so you had several others that were injured. You had the Russian ambassador killed. Well, you have to ask yourself, who benefits? And many people are pushing the guy that's living in Pennsylvania, Gulen, Fatah Gulen. He lives in Pennsylvania in a mansion, and of course he's a big he's a big enemy of the Turkish government. Well, you have to look at Gulen too, and look at him not just as he is, but basically as an agent of the CIA. And I'm not talking about the good guys. I'm talking about the CIA that's run by the State Department, that's the Black Ops CIA. So you're absolutely correct. And don't forget, there was another interesting death that happened right after that assassination. You had the death of Peter Polshikov. He's a top Russian diplomat who was actually shot inside of his home. His wife was home. He lives in a townhouse just inside Moscow. He was shot, I think, twice in the head, and the gun was found under the kitchen sink in this guy's house. Now, and the security was very heavy around this townhouse. Okay, now it could be something as simple as a domestic type of altercation. We'll admit to that because we don't know all the details. But it's just certainly interesting that happened. We also had a UN Auditor General that was perhaps suicided recently. But what we're seeing here, Dave, I believe, is you see the United States making overt threats against Russia. The United States, of course, renewed its sanctions against Ukraine. But what we're also seeing is this covert series of events and operations that appear to be bolstering the Western interests over the Russia, Iran, Turkey confederation, if you will. And Russia really wants to get a pipeline, Turkey pipeline.
Right.
And improve the relationship. So you see this multidimensional, and hopefully I didn't lose people, but you see this multidimensional war that's being really set up.
Well, you're absolutely right about the pipeline. I wrote about that, when the Ukraine thing came about, and I said that if NATO gets too feisty here with Russia, Russia will just simply cut off their natural gas shipments, and they supply over a third of Western Europe's natural gas, almost as much as 40% of Germany's supply. And I said, Putin will just shut that off, and he'll have these people begging for mercy. And as a workaround, he tried to broker the pipeline deal with Turkey back then. And the CIA stepped in and sabotaged that particular arrangement. And now this is back on the table. If Russia is able to establish a pipeline arrangement with Turkey to bypass a lot of these conduits into Western Europe because of the NATO heightened tensions and so forth, what do you think that means for world peace? Do you think that has any implications?
Well, absolutely. I think it does. You talk about energy, and I should point this out too. Saudi Arabia, for example, is the go-to country, if you will, for energy. But it's just not energy. It's cheap energy. It has a lot to do with the lift costs, and it has a lot to do with the ability to get this energy, the oil, for example, out of the ground. Well, that of course, Saudi Arabia is key there. However, any energy war that might take place is directly tied between a war between the West and Russia, a war between the West and, of course, Russia and or China. That's the bigger picture. And you're correct, too. And when you look at Syria, for example, Syria, as far as Russia is concerned, because we're talking about Syria when we're talking about this energy war, when you look at Syria, you're also talking about the military and economic interests of Russia, or that Russia has with Syria. So here the United States, you know, comes and they, our government stokes things up in Syria to such an extent the country's in ruins. You've got tens of millions dead, others in refugee status, the entire country turned upside down and bombed into the Stone Age, the infrastructure ruined, and we are essentially pumping and funneling money to and support of ISIS in Syria, which is totally ridiculous in so many ways. But again, the American people are just so, many of the American people, not those listening to this program, but many of the American people are so ignorant about history and that we're on the wrong side of this battle and the larger battle as it will develop into World War III. But to answer your question again directly and more specifically, absolutely. These are the building blocks, I think, of World War III. And that's why this UN resolution also resonated so with me, because we are fighting, or we are opening, the United States, in this case Obama and the globalists, are opening so many fronts over in Europe, the Middle East, Israel, that it's just where's the flashpoint gonna you know, what's gonna be the flashpoint? So that's kind of what I'm looking at here, and I believe that that's what everyone should understand, how dire the situation is. And people will obviously say, oh, well, you're just a fear porn guy. Well, okay, you know, that's fine. I'll accept that title if you think this is fear porn.
It's not fear porn. It's accurate reporting. You know, journalists are supposed to be like attorneys. We're not supposed to ask questions that we don't reasonably know the answer to. And Doug, I'm going to step out on a limb here. Are you familiar with the gasoline and oil shortage currently being experienced by Mexico?
Not as fluent in that as you, Dave. So I would defer anything like that to you. I know you've addressed this, but so I would defer to you on this.
I don't claim to be any great expert either, but let me just share this thought with you. Would it surprise you to know that with Obama, and this is what I've been told by my sources, he is the one who's responsible for creating selective shortages in Mexico, so much so that Mexico has turned to China. And if China gets their hooks into Mexico and we go to war, do you see the implications there for a Red Dawn?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Yeah, I can. And I think any way in to the House of America, if America was just one big house, for example, any way in, you know, you can't come through the front door. It would be just too messy. But certainly through the back door, through the side door, absolutely. So yeah, I do see that possibility, and you're right. I mean, when you look at the Mexican gasoline shortage, that was deliberately manufactured. Yeah, I think there's it's beyond. I think it's beyond any type of discussion that it's 100% that the United States caused the problem, in the sense that and what we've been doing with respect to the U.S. government. But the reason I have to ask, of course, is why, which I think you answered that question and addressed that question, because that does give the globalists the opportunity to for a Red Dawn scenario. That's you're exactly right.
Well, the reason I bring this up also, too, is because we've got Obama trying to externally, outside the country, provoke war with Russia in several different ways. And now we're looking at CalExit, and I don't know how much you know about CalExit, but this is ready to break very big. And CalExit is the attempted secession of California from the Union. And interestingly enough, Putin is playing both sides of the fence, because Russia Today reported 8 days ago that CalExit, the secessionist movement led by Governor Jerry Brown, actually opened an embassy in Moscow. And they have a picture of it on RT.
It's pretty interesting when you consider who's behind this. My goodness.
Well, I'll give you who's behind CalExit. It's all the usual players, but then I'll save the best for last. You've got, of course, George Soros. You've got the Mexican drug cartels and La Raza that was behind the Reconquista de Atzlan movement, designed to give 8 states back to Mexico because of illegal seizing of that land from the Mexican War in 1848. But anyway, you've got these groups, but you also have HSBC, and hope you're sitting down for this, the Chinese government are involved in these meetings. And how I know this, Doug, Paul Preston has people on the inside who've attended these meetings. They're not on board. Now, their names can't be released because their lives would be in extreme danger. But Paul Preston has been telling me about this now for a month, and each time I talk to him, there's a new revelation. It's incredible what's going on, Doug, but when you look at all this, the totality, China is behind CalExit. China has threatened to come to the rescue of Mexico because of Obama's manipulated gas shortage in Mexico. I mean, there's a pattern here, Doug.
Well, and I don't think this is going to turn out well, Dave. And correct me if I'm wrong on this. California, or any other state for that matter, does not have the right to secede under federal law. Okay. They would. Californians would have to pass an amendment to the United States Constitution, which would require the blessings of the other 49 states. And frankly, I can see where some might just say okay. But however, people don't understand by doing that the larger. I mean, it's a good emotional knee jerk kind of thing in response to, we'll say, a Trump victory. However, I don't think the people behind this. Let me back up. I don't think the people who are supporting this by emotion understand the severe critical ramifications that this would have should this ever really take hold. And obviously, without the blessing of the other 49 states, all of them, this could turn into a bloody civil war. And I think that's kind of where we're at here.
There you go.
You know, yeah.
That's exactly my conclusion. And that's when we would be the most vulnerable to attack.
Absolutely. And although, you know, this sounds so far-fetched. However, you look at the CalExit initiative. It's gathering steam, and it's really based, in my view, from what I've seen, based on it's a knee-jerk reaction to the Trump presidency, the Trump victory. At least that's how it's being couched.
Yeah, but it's not. But it's not. I agree with you. It's being promoted that way.
Yes,
it's actually a morphed movement out of the Yes California, which had the same objective. I'm going to share this with you, and my confidence call on this is extremely high, because everything Paul Preston has told me from his sources inside these meetings has been correct, as evidenced by the embassy in Russia, for example. I was told in advance, 2 days in advance, this had happened. 2 days later, the Russia Today article appears. And so everything that I've been told is accurate, but I'm going to give you the bombshell here. And I think this brings together Israel, the Turkish ambassador, the shoot down or the destruction or terrorist event related to the military plane of Russia that went down 2 days ago. I think it all ties together with this. First of all, Governor Brown, who wants to be El Presidente, is refusing comment. But I will give you what comments are being made according to two eyewitnesses reporting to Paul Preston, and it's this, is that the Sinaloas and some of the other drug cartels like the La Familias have said, and they've talked about this openly with three Obama administration officials in attendance, that if we're not allowed to withdraw, we'll make them let us withdraw. And they're talking about the random execution of white people at public events.
Nice.
And I have operational details that were actually discussed with the Governor Brown people, with the Obama people in attendance. The Mexican consulate was there. HSBC was there. And, Doug, I'm sure you know your history, the rape of Nanking. The descendants of Sasakawa, who actually did the rape of Nanking, they now own Mitsubishi. They're part of this as well. This is incredible.
Wow. So all of the players, or I shouldn't say all, but many of the players have been identified. Many of the back, those in the shadows have been identified. Obviously, this is about as spontaneous of a reaction. Speaking about CalExit now, that by itself, it's about as spontaneous as the Arab Spring was, which we all know it wasn't. So we're being set up from within, and there are a lot of people who are kind of mind-numbed from the news and everything that are just, you know, going along with it, using that emotional response to a what they would term a crazy victory of Trump. So, okay, I can see where how this is playing out.
But back to your original premise, what we started talking about, Israel.
Yes.
If you have a political and economic disruption of the West Bank, aren't you in effect doing Israel's version of CalExit as well?
Wow, that's an interesting analogy. A forced CalExit on Israel, I suppose. Wow. Yeah, I guess so. It can be looked at. One can look at it in that fashion. But again, I think this goes deeper. And I think that the only way to really get a good handle on this, at least in my view, is to look at it through the prism of biblical prophecy and scripture, which again, even to non-believers, even if you look at the Bible as history as opposed to theology, you've got to look at this and say, wait a minute, we're entering into some very dangerous territory, but you're absolutely correct. I believe now in your analogy.
I just see it as a pattern.
And
then you have to wonder really what was the motivation behind Brexit. See, now if you look at it as British independence, you don't think this way. But if you look at this as the breakup of the EU as an entity, an entity that could stand in opposition to the creation of a new world order government and one world economic system, then taking Britain out of the European Union is another CalExit analogy.
But, okay.
And I know it's been sold as a populist movement, Doug. I fully admit that.
Right. But okay, in your analogy then, Dave, let me ask you, would Brexit be a positive move overall and against the globalist, against the one world order, one world government type of thought process? Or are you saying that it has nefarious undertones?
What I think it is you basically have the European Union operating as a national entity. Okay, it's like several nations have formed one nation.
Sure.
And if you take out Britain, you've taken out a big piece of that, and I could make the analogy the same as if you took California out of the United States, you would have a similar effect. And now we're looking also at the immigration into Europe that is so divisive among the people. How many other nations, Italy, Portugal, Spain, and maybe even Germany, will react in a similar fashion? Then you have the breakup of the EU. See, I'm wondering out loud, and this is just my imagination asking this question, the Hodges hypothesis, if you will. Are they trying to destroy national entities and reduce them to rubble, piecemeals of what they were, because it's easier to build a unified whole from this rabble than do it with strong nations that might resist?
It's a great question. Destroy nationalism through nationalist movements.
There you go. And I just, this is one thing that I've begun to wonder. Hey, I celebrated Brexit. This is awesome. Donald Trump has gone overseas. I mean, this is how I conceptualized it, that freedom is sweeping the planet. But now I'm wondering if the globalists aren't saying, hey, we're having the last laugh on you. This ain't about freedom. This is about breaking up the European Union so we can absorb it when it collapses.
Interesting concept. And if you apply that to the United States, of course, we know the United States, the phoenix rising from the ashes. It doesn't, the analogies work, I suppose. The end result could very well be exploited, or the events could be exploited by the globalists, especially under the pretext of nationalism, to create or resurrect whatever remains out of the ashes, from the ashes.
A month ago in the Seattle Times, they ran an article which talked about the fact that Canada would welcome the idea of absorbing Washington State and Oregon through something called Cascadia.
Oh,
this was in mainstream news.
Yes.
And I chuckle here because I'm seeing a real pattern. It's not just Calexit. You know, you had the La Raza movement for years. Okay, set that aside with Reconquista de Aztlan. But now Cascadia. And I want to go back to something and then tie it back into Israel. The Gulf oil states that were ravaged by the oil spill in 2010, there was a plan, and Jesse Ventura covered this on camera with S.I. Reese of the Army Corps of Engineers, and she admitted that they had $40 billion of funding to evacuate the Gulf. And for some reason, it didn't happen then, but they wanted to turn the Gulf into an energy hub. And I won't get into all the details because there's a lot of things that really go to support the logic behind this, but I don't think that Calexit is an isolated situation. I think it's something that we're looking at the breakup of the U.S., and then let's go to Israel. What would be the impact, do you think, on Israel economically and from a military defense standpoint to lose the West Bank?
Well, I think, beyond the obvious, obviously the strategic importance of the settlements on the West Bank and the economic, as well as the, as I said, the strategic importance, I don't think can be understated. However, I do think that the UN Security Council Resolution 2334, which would have never happened without, Obama, the support and approval of Obama. You raise a good point. I think that you've got to go back to 1967, the June 1967 lines, and you've got to also throw into the mix here, in addition to the occupied Palestinian territory, including East Jerusalem, you've got to throw into the mix here Jerusalem and the lines that go back to the 1967 war. Stepping back, the UN Security Council is saying that unless the Palestinians agree to give it up every single inch of East Jerusalem, and I'm kind of getting, this is kind of a circular way of answering or addressing the question, every single inch of East Jerusalem, including the Temple Mount, belongs to the Palestinians. So you get back to the West Bank. This is an assault on the sovereignty of Israel, but it also erodes their military might, their capabilities, as well as their theological or the religious basis, their deed title to the state, to the land, and to the territory. assigned, given to them by God. I don't know if that makes sense, but you know, yeah, you've got this military strategic importance of the West Bank, but you also have thrown into the resolution here the 67 lines. You've got the Jerusalem divide, and don't forget how the Bible had talked about Jerusalem being a trembling cup and such. So you've got so much going on. The importance of the West Bank, and notwithstanding, I think that there's a full cup here that needs to be addressed as a whole, as opposed to just one aspect of this.
Well, Doug, you've really opened up a can of worms when you started talking about the UN resolution with regard to Israel. Even if we leave out what could be related movements in the United States with secession, if we just focus on Israel alone and the possible compromise of their defenses, could this speak to the fact that Israel is being set up to be attacked by Iran, or that war as biblically prophesied will begin in Syria, and this is a move to weaken Israel?
Yeah, I think it's going to happen concurrently. I think you've got the Psalm 83 war, the Confederation of Arab States and Nations coming against Israel. I think you've got World War III, the tensions between the larger powers, that being Russia and the United States, really being triggered by our activities in Syria. But while we're busy in Syria, or being busied by whatever happens in Syria, Russia, Iran, or the Confederation of Arab States, or all of them could come in and to take a spoil in Israel. And according to biblical prophecy, what you're going to have is a major defeat, not defeating Israel, but a major defeat of the coalition of Arab states, and you're going to see a tremendous outgrowth of Israel, perhaps taking over additional territory. But the important thing here, I think, for everyone to understand is this resolution has forced has really virtually said that, look, we've exhausted, the Palestinians would say, we've exhausted all legal channels for resolving this conflict. The only way that we're going to get what we want, or what legally, I shouldn't say what we want, but in terms of the Palestinians, the only way we're going to get what's legally entitled to us is to take it by force. And we just got a pat on the back and an approval, a nod by the UN Security Council, and here we come. So, you know, yeah, but very, wow, it's just, it's mind-blowing, Dave, it really is.
Well, this legitimizes violence against Israel, which could be a trigger point for war in itself.
And you know what? You're also seeing this rise of anti-Semitism here in the United States. And, you know, the last week over the Christmas holiday, I believe it was, you saw some synagogues in the United States being defaced. It's horrible what is taking place. And you've got these, again, these mind-numb people who are just going along with, who don't know history, who don't know their Bible, who don't know current events, and who are acting on pure entertainment for news, as opposed to real news like you provide, and saying, well, you know, this is the right thing to do. And it's just so far out of the... It's so far out of the realm of anything I've ever seen in my years of existence. I just can't even this cannot be understated. Let's put it that way.
Well, I think it's safe to say that the globalists are not accepting the presidential election. And I wanted to ask you this, your opinion on this particular thing. I just did a podcast on the fact that only one president, ex-president, has RSVP'd for the inauguration, and that's Jimmy Carter. And I disagree with Jimmy Carter on so many political things, and he was so ineffective as a president. But I think in his soul, he's a decent human being. And I'm not surprised that he RSVP'd in respect for the system. But what I find interesting is these presidents were all selected. Do you think we could say that Trump is the first modern president to be elected and not selected?
You know, Dave, I think that's probably more correct than not. You know, we tend to think that the globalists have this, they're all powerful. They make their plans and they work their plans, and they're always successful. And I think sometimes they screw up like anyone else does. So I think What started out as a joke 18 months ago, or 18 and a half, 19 months ago, with Trump saying, yeah, I'm running for president, and everyone blowing him off, and even the insiders saying, nah, it's not going to happen. Don't worry about it. I think what happened was the globalists got their butt handed to them, and now they're saying, okay, well, there's things that we got to do right now that, fix this, or at least what can we do to exploit the Trump presidency? And a lot of that, which you mentioned about the RSVPs, we're talking about protocol, and we're talking about political protocol as opposed to policy. But nonetheless, that does show, in my view, and I think you'd probably agree, who is on the side of the anti-globalists and who's on the side of globalists. And for whatever Carter has done in the past, or whatever he screwed up, and whatever screw up he might be, and however so wrong he is on so many things, including Israel, you have to look at the, he's going to the inauguration. He accepted. Perhaps that's just a sign that, he's really irrelevant. And that's kind of what I'm thinking. In terms of the political protocol.
Some of my listeners have an interesting conspiracy theory. Based on the TV show starring Kiefer Sutherland and Designated Survivor, in which the entire Capitol was blown up and there were only three survivors from government, they're thinking that when the ex-presidents are staying away, that they're actually in the know about what's coming. I don't know that we can say that, but I thought it was worth mentioning and throwing it out there in the form of predictive programming. Where do you think this Israel controversy is going to head next?
Well, look, instead of bringing peace, as this resolution was couched, it just sets the stage for more conflict. And you got to look at what Israel is saying, what the Netanyahu government is saying, what they're promising. In fact, they're promising not to adhere to the terms of the resolution by categorically rejecting the despicable resolution, as they call it. They're not going to adhere to it. So this is setting the stage for war in the Middle East, this alone. And, of course, everybody, all of these nation states are virtual proxies of either the United States, Russia and China, whatever. So we're looking at in my view, the foundation for a world war, that one of the fronts, kind of like World War II, where you had the Pacific Theater of Operation, the European Theater of Operation. You're going to have the Middle Eastern theater of operation, the Syrian. I suppose you could call that Middle East, but that would be more not so much. This with Syria, and then of course you could have other things happen with China, South China Sea, Taiwan, the Philippines. It's just endless, yeah. And I think that I think we have to think bigger than we're thinking.
It's a globalist delight, Doug. You've got a great book out there, and I wanted to promote before we finish. Stained by Blood. Tell people how they can get a copy of it and briefly what it's about.
Dave, thanks for mentioning that. Stained by Blood is a book I wrote. It was about the murder of my uncle, unsolved for 5 years. Of course, 30 years as a PI. I've been PI for 30 years. That was my first murder case I took on. And as a PI, back in 1987. And the book details in fiction format because of what I've disclosed there, my working of the my uncle's murder. And the bottom line with the book, you can get it at Amazon.com or stainedbyblood.com if you want a signed copy, but Amazon.com. And I will say this, it's really not as much about murder as it is about what we found in a parallel investigation that relates closely to the topic of what's being called right now as Pizzagate. So, yeah, there it is. But thank you, Dave, for allowing me to mention that.
Exactly. And your show airs Monday through Friday on the Global Star Radio Network, where you're listening to this particular broadcast, from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern. And I don't think there's a better show out there than the Hagman & Hagman Report YouTube channel by the same name, I believe. Is that right, Doug?
The official Hagman & Hagman Report. That's correct.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, just great stuff. And I really encourage you to support Doug and Joe in their worthy endeavor of their show, because they're bringing truth at some risk to themselves. And when you look at who's bringing you the truth, the bad guys outnumber the good guys, and the Hagmans are one of the good guys. Doug, thanks for joining us. Hi, this is Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show, where we are freeing America one enslaved mind at a time, and there's no shortage of critical topics to talk about, but I think none more critical right now than what's happening with the economy, because this is a game stopper. And here to talk about it is Robert Kudla from TradeGenius.co, and Bob has some really interesting insights. I've been waiting to do this interview for a few days now with all that's happening. Bob, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Thanks for having me, and Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you too, my friend. Well, let's get right down to it. The stock market is really it's schizophrenic. So, with that unprofessional observation, let me hand it off to you and make some sense out of what's going on.
Yeah. So, what's happening here, Dave? From a macro sense, this is what's known as what's called the blow-off top. So we've had 8 years of unprecedented market liquidity provided by the Federal Reserve. And, you know, in my view, to support their fellow socialist in office, President Obama, to make sure that everything was calm and nice and for them to create a narrative that, look, you know, this is how we can run the world for you. And now that Trump won, and Yellen actually admitted to it in the in her press announcement on Wednesday that it was a surprise to them as well.
Yeah, right.
And so what happened is everybody's looking around and saying, hey, you know what? We're going to take Trump at his word, and you know, drain the swamp or erect tariffs or make companies stay in the U.S. And so there's a lot of panic right now. And so the big money people are saying, hey, you know what? The only way we can get out of the stock market is we have to create a narrative, you know, that they're calling the Trump rally. Is the only way big money can get out is that they have to make bring other buyers in, which is retail. And the only way to do that is they have to create a situation where money flows in. And so what they did was they either did it in cahoots with the Japanese government, or they did it all their own, and the Japanese are following along because they're trying to play nice, is that they went ahead and they shorted extremely hard the Japanese yen. And when they did that, they set a whole series of mechanisms in order. And you have to realize when you're talking to big money people, you know, you ever watch Texas Hold'em, the poker people on TV, is imagine the guy with the biggest chip stack, and that chip stack is never ending. You know, it's Jesus and the five loaves, right? He just has an unlimited basket. And so what they can do is that they could pour unlimited amounts of money into the futures market. And so that's what they did. They went ahead and they shorted the bond market really hard. And then they turned around and they shorted the Japanese yen very hard, knowing full well what that would do. Money panicked out of the bond funds, and it had nowhere else to go but into the stock market. And so that's what's bringing this rise up. And then what happens, it gets a life of its own. It becomes like a forest fire out of control, because selling begets selling begets selling. And so what people don't realize is, you know, Japan isn't the only one that's is going down this path, is China has to follow suit with Japan, because if they don't, they lose the export markets. So China started to devalue. And then you have to realize too, Germany, so in this world, you got America that was basically the patsy. We're absorbing all these imports because we want to have our dollar out there for to be in use so that we can basically overspend. So Japan is what's called a mercantilist country. China is one, and also Germany. So all three of these currencies all had to devalue at the same time. And what was weird for a while was that, of course, gold got hammered. And I'm going to talk to you about a little bit about a secondary game going on with gold. Is gold got hammered, which you would expect, but oil went up, which was really, really weird. And so so what happened is that everybody was kind of scratching their heads, said oil shouldn't keep going up. And then just last week, oil started to crater a little bit. And then the bond market stopped going down. And so now we're at a point now where, okay, we're 2 weeks away from the end of the year. These guys are trying to hit a number, which is somewhere around 2,300, 2,307 in the S&P. Those numbers are meaningless to people, but they have a benchmark that they're trying to hit, and they're trying to get out, and they're going to leave all this money from around the world that came into our stock market. They're going to leave them holding the bag. And so what's going to happen here is we get through Christmas, is going into the new year, is that these correlations are all now broken. You know, and we're just going to get a flush, Dave. And what happens is when the stock market goes up like this parabolic, it's called the Eiffel Tower effect. It gets to the top of the Eiffel Tower, and it goes right back down to street level. And that's what's going to happen with our market. So everybody here that thinks that this is the Trump revolution and blue skies are here again are going to be left with, you know, 15, 20% losses going into 2017. So that's kind of what's going on in the stock market. I hope that made sense.
Yeah, is it going to happen that quickly? You really think it's going to bottom out before the end of the year?
Oh, no. I think it's going to hang through the end of the year, and it's going to bottom out in the first quarter.
Yeah, what a nice little Christmas present the Obama administration is leaving Trump.
Well, and they do it on purpose. As you know, they're going to say, look, when Obama was in power, his policies created this beautiful growth, just like what happened with Hoover. And so, you know, they're basically setting Trump up for the fall and saying, and you heard it in the announcements on the Fed meeting, is that Yellen's hinting at it. You know, these people are so passive aggressive, and they think they're just really, really smart and slick. Is they're saying, you know, we probably wouldn't have recommended raising so many times, you know, but because of Trump's policies, we don't think he's thought them through. And so what the code word is that every time he's going to try to spend money, the Fed's going to come in there and try to sabotage it. And I've been warning people that, you know, even if Trump had carte blanche to do whatever he wanted to do, it would still take a whole year for him to enact these policies and to affect changes in GDP. But as you can see with this transition time, I mean, if the guy uses the wrong bathroom, Dave, you know, it's on CNN as some sort of scandal. And that's what they're going to do. They're going to pick apart everything he does and try to create doubt in people's minds. Well, you know, our economy is and our stock market is geared to 3-4% growth in GDP. If we end up with another year of 1-1.5% at what they call a PE ratio, which is the price to earnings ratio, it's at a 28 right now, Dave. Only two other times in history, three other times in history, it hit that. And you can imagine those dates, 1929, 2000, and 2008. Mm. And we're here again. And a 28 multiple on earnings is something that's just simply isn't sustainable. And the narrative doesn't fit. So everything has to come in. And so that's what's going on, and that's the setup. And if you mind me a little bit of a segue, I want to talk about gold a little bit too. You know, there's rumors going out, and I know you follow stuff really closely, so you probably already have some insight into this, is that, you know, Obama signed some executive orders that I think he's been leaking gold out of our national treasury, and because the bankers use that, you know, to keep our interest rates in line so that we don't go bankrupt. And, you know, when Trump gets in there, Trump's a bit of a gold bug. You know, he likes hard money, and, you know, and he's a nationalist. And there's a lot of fear right now that that he's going to rescind these executive orders, which basically the central banks, not the central banks, but the broker banks that work for the central banks are going to lose access to these gold lending windows. And so there's the secondary narrative on this is that they're driving the price down of gold so hard so they can what they call puke up the gold so they can get it to honor the bets that they made to deliver the gold probably into Asia. And so what a lot of people are thinking is that, hey, gold may have another 7-10% down. And then when Trump takes office and rescinds these executive orders is that there's going to be no place for gold to go but to pop. And it'll pop when the Japanese yen moves too. So people that are in gold and are a little bit concerned right now, you know, at the very worst, you got 10% more to go. Don't give them your gold at the bottom. You know, if you can hold, hold, and that you you're going to be well rewarded over the next year or two.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice. And the thing is people have to have a long-term strategy to get through this. I think it's a dangerous time to be riding the trends or even try to anticipate a trend. I mean, are you suggesting that people just hunker down and be conservative?
You know, I am. I mean, you know, if you're a trader, it's fun to trade these things. But if you have quite a bit of a portfolio, look, when you get to a 28 PE, Dave, you know what? You're not going to lose much if you go to cash and watch for a couple months. But if you don't go to cash, you can lose 15, 20, 25% here over the next couple months. So my advice is, you know what? You had a great run. Take some chips off the table and just kind of watch and let Trump get settled in and see how this all plays out. But, you know, the last three times this happened, Dave, we had minus 86, minus 47, and minus 40, you know, on the stock market. And, you know, for a lot of people, that's going to be impossible for them to recover that. But if they miss it, let's say I'm wrong. The very most the stock market's going to go up is like 5 or 6%. I'd be willing to give up 5% to say 40 to 50 if I'm right.
Yeah, it's peace of mind, too. You mentioned gold briefly. Let's go back to gold. So if you think that people should take some chips off the table, should they put those chips into gold?
You know, if they scale in, they should, Dave. I mean, we had a big move down. You know, looking at the charts, I think we probably have, you know, probably another in the next 3 to 4 weeks, probably another 10% down. I think what they're going to do is I think they're going to try to revisit the beginning of the year gold price. And so that could push gold down to around 1,000, 1,050. And I think right now we're at around 1,100-ish. So, you know, if people, you know, would scale in, sure, I'd buy a little bit every week. But, you know, there's no rush on this. I don't think gold's going to pop unless the yen, you know, gets reversed. And so that's what they have to kind of watch. And there's going to be an announcement by the Bank of Japan sometime next week. So, you know, it could all happen between Christmas and New Year. This whole thing starts unraveling a little bit. You know, there's some people out there, I don't really subscribe to it because I really don't understand it, but there's a lot of people out there talking about Bradley turn dates, and we've seen changes in the market on like the 28th, 29th, 30th of the year where some big money are going to front run the new year. So I would tell people, hey, you know what, give next week a rest. You know, pull some chips off the table if you're long stocks. If you want to start buying gold, you know, if it gets to be a higher price than it is today, you know, you might want to start buying in now. But if it keeps falling, I would probably wait till next week after Christmas and start dribbling in until Trump gets inaugurated.
Well, that's interesting. The interest rates were just risen by the Fed. I mean, I couldn't believe they did it. Well, I do believe they did it because I know where their loyalties lie. It's not with the people of the United States and what's good for the economy. It's to bring Trump down because they want to be globalist and they don't want a nationalist to succeed. So let's talk about those interest rates. What kind of a direct effect is that going to have on the American people?
Yeah, so what's happening is you have to realize that the central bank can only influence the short end of the rate curve, you know, their funds rate. And what happens is a lot of times in a normally functioning economy, when things, you know, the Federal Reserve normally, if it's non-politicized, will raise rates if they see the economy moving forward, and the curve then gets steeper as you go out, you know, because the longer you want to lend money to somebody, the more interest you want for your money. So they're going to try to push the short end up. And so the 10-year went up with it, you know, in the beginning. And that's the number most people need to watch, Dave. Forget what the Fed's doing. If you have a home equity line of credit, or you have credit cards, you may see a little bit of a pain from this push. And you know, it may affect your interest by 1% over a year. But the 10-year is what makes all the difference in the world. And I think what's going to happen is first of all, you're right why they're doing it. They want to hurt Trump, but they also can put money in the banker's hands, and I'll explain how that works in a second. But what's going to really happen, Dave, is what happened last year. See, the Fed tried to do this again because they wanted to say the narrative going into the last year into the election is we, Obama and team, we have done it. And so we're going to start raising interest rates because the economy has reached escape velocity. Well, as you know, we got into January and China puked and stock market went down 18% and they panicked and they started backtracking. So now with Trump in, they're trying it again and they're going to try to hold firm. But what's going to happen is that that 10-year is going to get stuck. And that 10-year is going to roll down, and what you're going to have is what's called a flat curve. Is sounds like an oxymoron, but it's that the short rate and the long rate are basically flat, and that's recessionary. And so that's going to cause them to panic again. So I think whatever pain we're going to get, whatever pain they want to cause Trump is going to backfire. And so I would tell people, you'll have a chance to refi sometime in 2017. I can almost guarantee it because the economy can't handle higher interest rates. Now, I'll talk about what the banks are. What's really happening, Dave, with interest rates is that you have the banks are in trouble. They're not getting enough interest income. They're not getting enough fee income. There's not enough people lending, borrowing money from them. So what the Fed does is the Fed gave them $4 trillion of what's called excess reserves. And out of our treasury, we pay them interest. We pay the banks. You and I pay the banks for having counterfeit money sitting in their vaults. And so when they raise this rate 0.25%, they actually get more money now from the Fed. And basically it's $14 billion. $7 billion of it goes to us and $7 billion of it goes to foreign banks that have U.S. operations, and that money comes right out of the Treasury. So that money that the Fed gets that's considered profit, you know, dumps into Treasury, but now they redirect it to the banks. So they basically gave the banks an amazing Christmas present, and every quarter point increase will put another $7 billion into U.S. banks. And they don't have to lend money, so they're not even banks anymore. They're just tools for social policy. And so that's why they're raising the interest rates. They can, it's mox nix to the economy. And the really irony of ironies is when they thought Hillary was going to win, Yellen was begging Congress and the president to take over from monetary policy and have fiscal policy enhancements. Trump gets in and all of a sudden they're allergic to it. So, you know, now we know it's political. And so that's what's happening with interest rates. So I would tell people, hey, fret for a couple months, and this is what's going to go in with the stock market going down. Nobody can handle it. You have to realize that's going to drive the dollar higher, which is going to really hurt our multinational companies. They have to pay more to buy back their shares of stock, which is the only way stock prices have been going up anyway. All their customers now have basically a Yellen tax, you know, that they have to pay through higher HELOCs and higher adjustables and higher credit card debt, and they basically killed the real estate market. So, you know, it killed all the fee incomes and all those jobs that come from real estate. So it's not going to last. In fact, I think everything will drive down to zero at some point in the next 2 years, Dave.
Yeah, just in time to put in Democrats as a reactionary move to what the public would perceive as Trump incompetence with the economy. That two-year period works out nicely for them. One of the things that let me put on my tinfoil hat here, Bob. I've had it with the Federal Reserve. I've had it with them for a long time. You can even cast me in the light of a Ron Paul. They're created by an act of Congress. Why can't Trump, when he gets in, just say, you know what, you guys are bad for America, you're globalist, I'm a nationalist, people elected me. Executive order, you're out of business. Congress, you're now printing the money as the Constitution says you shall. What's to prevent him from doing this if this thing really becomes contentious?
There's really nothing. I mean, they'd have to get Congress to come along with him. You know, but I mean, if let's go with your line of thinking, let's say Trump has to ride this alone, and let's say he's willing and able to do that. There are many things that Trump can do to really expose the Federal Reserve to a point where a weakness. You know, like any bully, they hide behind a mystique and a persona. But, you know, they're like the little guy in the Wizard of Oz. And I think once that sheet gets pulled back and people really find out what's going on with it, then I think they'll lose all political support. And I think what Trump needs to do is every time he's harassed, he needs to keep chipping away at their mystique. You know, hey, you know what? We're going to go to Fort Knox and take a look at the gold. Hey, we're going to audit you. Hey, you know what? Banks, you can't get it at 0.25% anymore. If you need to borrow money, you got to borrow money at the same rate the poor people borrow money at. You know, all those kind of things that are very populist that they can't really argue against. And then once they weaken them to such a point, then they can go in and drive the truck through. And Trump's the kind of guy that, you know, he can, who cares if the Federal Reserve's sitting there, Dave? He has constitutional authority to print money. What if he just says, we're just going to gin up $1 trillion of hard cash?
In other words, he pulls an Andrew Jackson, so to speak.
Yeah, you know what? You have $4 trillion in it. You know what? I'm ginning up $4 trillion. I'm going to pay off the bet. I'm going to pay off the debt to the Federal Reserve. We don't need it anymore. Because what people don't understand is that when they think of money, that you know, they don't realize that the cash in your pocket is less than 8% of all what they call what I call debt units out there. Most of what's out there is called credit debt. You know, credit currency. And so the only way that we ever can get out of this, Dave, is that we have to create enough of physical currency at the same time we're retiring credit currency. And so this would fit in beautifully. And, you know, if Trump just said, you know what I'm going to do? In fact, I'm going to give it all to the inner city, all to the inner city poor. Now he has 30 million, he has a 30 million shock troop behind him. You know, so there's a lot he can do. So I hope he's listening.
That is hilarious. We could call it the Hillary Clinton Memorial Fund.
There you go. But you know, there's a lot they can do. So, you know, he seems to have already, you know, bedeviled these people. You know, I wouldn't doubt that he has some other tricks up his sleeve. But you know, I found it really weird. You know, that when Bill Gates met with him, he called him the next JFK.
Yeah, I got that too.
I didn't know if that was prophetic or a warning.
Yeah, you know? I think it's both. I took that as a direct threat.
I don't think it was a compliment.
No, it was a direct threat. I mean, you got to remember, Bill Gates has his nice little computer sitting out there for Communist Corps, and Communist Corps is ready to go away when Trump takes office. He's going to lose a lot there. And, of course, Trump, being the nationalist, will not support Gates' international vaccine programs funded by the U.S. taxpayer. So, yeah, he's got a lot to lose. I can see why he issued that threat, and that is a threat. You know, and here's what bothers me about this, too, and this is a little off the topic of economics, but Michael Moore issued a threat against Donald Trump when he said, well, you know, the recount didn't work in Electoral College, long shot. But a lot can happen before January 20th. Hey, you know what? If I said that about Hillary Clinton a month ago, hello, Dave. Knock, knock, knock. This is the Secret Service. And now we got Bill Gates saying this. Give me a break.
Oh, yeah. It is amazing. You know, I mean, you know, you cover all the false litanies, so I don't need to rehash it. But it is simply amazing to me. And I was just talking to somebody today at lunch, and I just said, you know, in a way, this is kind of refreshing because, you know, there's no their whole mask is off now, and so now they have to now they've exposed as who they really are. They don't even care anymore.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you know, as I explained to my family who leaned to the left, is I said, are you a Democrat or are you a progressive? Because if you're a Democrat, you should embrace Trump because really, he's espousing a lot of Democrat ideals from what I would call the 70s and the 80s.
Yes.
And a progressive, you guys are basically trying to delegitimize our country. And so, you know, I think now we really know who these people are. They're not Democrats. They have an agenda that doesn't include the United States.
Well, exactly. I mean, this isn't Democrat versus Republican, right versus left. This is globalism versus nationalism. And we've had leaders for quite some time now who are anti-American because they support globalism. And it's not a hard concept to get behind and understand.
No, absolutely. So I think it's really interesting. And, you know, I think they all know this whole thing's imploding on them. And it was really interesting. I think they thought Obama was the bridge to get enough things through, and then Hillary was going to be the hammer. And now this whole thing is the apple cart is upset. And Trump's a pretty shrewd guy. He knows that, you know, they have the Hispanic invasion coming in. It's going to take him a while to win them over. But you have the African-American community that sit there and says, you know what, we've seen this movie before, and it didn't end well for us. I'm going to give this guy a shot. And if Trump could come through with the African-American community, and he has the what we call the traditional American community, then I think the Democrats have basically screwed themselves up for a generation, and these people have to retrench. And you know what's going to happen is they don't go down easily. They're going to create some sort of worldwide crisis, Dave. And, you know.
You've been reading my articles. You know, it's funny. I liked how you expressed the view that this is the way I said it. Great minds think alike, Bob. I said for months that Barack Obama was, to use a baseball analogy, was your eighth inning setup pitcher, and Hillary Clinton was ruthless enough to be the closer in the ninth inning. And you just pretty much said what I said, but used a little different metaphor. But that's how I saw it too. And they've lost their closer. And I do agree. Listen, the left is communist today. They communist subversive. They're under rules for radicals. Saul Alinsky, Clower and Piven. And what do they advocate for doing? Blowing things up, murdering people, destroying things, creating total terrorism when they don't get their way. And that's what I'm afraid we're in for.
Yeah, and you know, it's really fascinating. And you know, they lost the whole climate change thing, you know, and as you know, we talked about this last time, is that I think that narrative is going to blow up on everybody coming in the next spring and summer, because you see how cold it is, and it's going to last a long time, is that they're going to have to create some other crisis that's, and you know, they've been trying to pick a fight with Russia, and they've tried to bring the Muslims in from you know, the Middle East, but they're going to need something more profound. And I can't put my finger on it at the moment. You know, maybe an asteroid's coming.
Well, I might have it, Bob. You know, I don't know if you've caught this or not. This is still on the QT, but I've got this from very reliable sources, multiple. Obama sent 4,000 combat troops from Fort Carson to the Baltic, and then support vehicles and so forth from other parts of the country. That's a provocative move. I said back in September, if Hillary didn't win, Obama will try his best to start the Third World War in the lame duck period, and it looks like he's trying to make good on that promise.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing too is you know, let me throw my tin foil hat on for a second, is that, you know, this thing what to do with the Japanese yen, this is warfare by another means. Is, you know, China is not the only one that's suffering from this. You know, if it kills the oil markets, they're going after Russia. This is like one of those elegant, we do one thing and we could kill a lot of economies at one time. And so, you know, this would cause great stress for China. It's causing great stress for Russia, great stress for Saudi Arabia. And, you know, as if they're trying to provoke a reaction, Dave. And so, you know, we could easily see oil in the 20s and 30s again, because the last two times the Japanese did this, they cut oil in half. And so I don't think those countries can absorb that low of oil anymore because of the way they built out their budgets. And it's going to cause Russia and Saudi Arabia to, hey, you know, do something, you know. And you know, I always think I have a Christian belief, and you know, Ezekiel 38 keeps coming, pops into my head all the time. And so I could certainly see, you know what, if we can't take it out on America, let's take it out on Israel.
Yeah, you're right about that. I think I might have a fair guess as to how Russia would respond to what you just suggested. Russia supplies, and I'm sure you know this, over a third of the home heating oil to Western Europe, our allies. I think Germany comes in at about 38%, if I remember correctly. I think they'll just shut off all the NATO-supporting nations from home heating oil if they get squeezed on the oil prices.
That would be brutal, especially how cold it is now. I mean, they would have them at their beck and call.
But see, that's a World War III maneuver, and that's what the globalists want.
You know, the other thing, too, Dave, is that I don't know if we talked about this last time, is Belarus, which is essentially controlled by Russia, even though it's a separate nation. You know, they and Canada control the worldwide fertilizer markets. And if we have these shortened seasons, you're going to need a lot of potash on the fields to be able to, you know, to grow the crops. And they've been frantically trying to rebuild the potash monopoly again. And that's why, you know, at Trade Genius, we've been banging the table on companies like IPI and POT and MOS, because we think the price of that fertilizer is going to go up 4 to 5 times. And it dovetails in, if Russia feels like they're backed in the corner and they say, you know, we're not exporting potash anymore. We're not exporting natural gas, as you say. And you know, and they also control a lot of the platinum and palladium that we need for the auto industry. So, you know, I think it's very, very short-sighted on their part, and it could cause some big havoc for all of us.
Well, I'll make a historical parallel because I'm right in line with what you're saying. When we, as a country, following the 8-point plan from McCollum, pre-World War II, shut off scrap metal shipments and oil to Japan, that did more than anything to provoke the attack on Pearl Harbor.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you and I are in agreement. We were goaded, we were duped into World War I, and we provoked Japan into World War II, because neither one of those wars that we wanted to participate in. And the globalists wants America, you know, our munitions, our people, you know, to fight the wars for them. And so I totally agree with you. But now it's very dangerous, you know, and you know what's going on with India and Pakistan. I mean, that's a sidebar that could just show up any day of the week, Dave, and we'll wake up with the market down 70%.
Oh, you know, you're right. The market would react to that, but it's not just India and Pakistan. There are now briefs that are floating out there that have been leaked by the military, and this is interesting. The military has purposely leaked this because they think the Obama administration is encouraging India to develop anti-Chinese weapons. In other words, they're testing a missile this weekend that could strike deep into China, and it's being advertised as such. I mean, why don't we just say, hey, we're practicing the nuke you? That's what India is doing, and Obama is encouraging it.
That's just crazy. You know what? I'm sure you find this fascinating, too, is Trump is surrounding himself with a lot of former generals. He's gearing up for some sort of insider fight of his life with the entrenched powers here.
You have been reading my articles, Bob, because that's exactly what I've contended. I mean, when he brought in Mad Dog Mattis, I said there could be a civil war. At least someone in that administration thinks there's going to be a civil war, and they want a popular leader like Mattis. And now we got General Kelly, and you look at these people he's bringing in. They could draw the troops to them, and I think that this is what Obama's worried about. If there is an actual coup perpetrated against him, either before or after the inauguration, then he's got people in there that could control a lot of the military because of past relationships and associations with commanders. We're seeing it exactly the same way.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know if I told you this before, but I'm a former Marine Corps officer, and I didn't know General Mattis, but I knew of General Kelly. So, I mean, these are some brilliant people, and these guys have been tested in the political forge of Iraq, you know, and Afghanistan, where where, you know, from one day to the next, you don't know who your friend is. So these are some pretty sharp guys that will just run rings around the liberals in Washington. You know, the people in the Middle East have been practicing the art of deception for millennia. And so I think he's really wise in what he's doing. And I totally agree with your narrative, Dave, that he will have the military on his side. He will have the police on his side. And as somebody pointed out to me, is that every county that Trump won has guns, and everywhere that Hillary won does not.
that is a great analysis. That's a good battlefield assessment. I like that. That is absolutely incredible. Well, what do you think about this Russian? Well, let me put it this way. Robert Kudla does a lot of talking to people like Dave Hodges and other people of like mind to me. And we are under attack, Bob, like we have never been before. I made the list from the Washington Post as someone who's a Russian subversive, and I was working to design my propaganda to defeat Hillary Clinton, which is true. I admit I wanted her defeated, but I was doing it on behalf of Putin. Now, I'm still waiting for my first check from Vladimir, and it hasn't arrived yet. But do you understand that they're trying to cut the legs out from underneath people like myself, Alex Jones, Steve Quayle, Doug Hagman? I mean, are you following that?
Oh, yeah, sure. And, you know, some of the other folks that I've done interviews with were absolutely named in that thing as well. You know, I think that's going to – you're going to have to be strong. And I think once Trump gets in, I think he'll provide a measure of protection. But, you know, one of the things, Dave, too, is that, you know, in the past, I think they could have shut – us all down. But, you know, unless they decide to shut the internet down, you know, guys like you and Steve Quayle and some other guys that have some lift, you know, we could just simply opt out and go to our own alt-right, you know, network. We don't even need some of these people if it gets to that point. You know, they'll have to shut the internet down to keep us from talking to each other. And I don't think they could do that. And, you know, I think enough people would be really upset. You know, I look at, I'm no friend of Russia. You know, the you know, I mean, my family, my grandparents came from communist Czechoslovakia. I mean, the Soviet Union enslaved my ancestors.
Right.
So, you know, I have no love for Russia. Russia is a thug nation. But, you know, does it give America the right to pick a fight with this guy for some geopolitical reason that they can't even articulate to us? And, you know, and I think that's what we have to be strong about, is that we have to tell people, hey, look, set Russia aside for a second. Who gave these people the right to start a war with these people? And you can't even articulate why we're even in Syria in the first place. You know, so I mean, I think we have to change the conversation with these people and not accept their, you know, their point of view on the whys and the wherefores. Is that, explain to me why we're even in Syria. I mean, what is our compelling national interest?
Bob, I think we should put this out here because this is very timely. Yesterday, I was addressing some intro to sociology undergrads, and they asked me a similar question. They said, what is backing up our dollar? And they said, because they had read about fiat currency, and they read that we went off the gold standard in two different steps, you know, Roosevelt, Nixon. And they said, so we have no backing. And I said, not entirely. And that's where I brought in the explanation of the petrodollar, where, you know, in 1944, we decided that everyone would have to come to us to buy the dollar, to go buy Middle Eastern oil. And it gave our dollar a measure of backing and allowed us to continue to spend recklessly without really feeling the big consequences. And now the BRIC nations come along, and you got Syria selling oil for gold, and you're getting these BRIC nations that are developing, well, I won't call them gold-backed economies, but they're sure making a move in that direction. And as a result, you've got two competing economic systems now. And you've really got the lineup for World War III, in my opinion. What do you think?
No, I totally agree with you. And I don't know if you saw this. I should never say that, Dave, because you probably already saw it. Is that, you know, the Muslim world is going to a gold lending standard. I guess they call it Shariaism or something like that, where they're going to allow people to basically trade and conduct business in gold across basically the Islamic world. You know, once they do that, you know, the dollar's dead, and gold is going to go through the roof, and we don't have the gold to back the bets. And so, yeah, absolutely. And I think that's why they killed Gaddafi.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's why they went after Assad, is that these guys want to conduct business outside the U.S. dollar, and they stole his gold. They went in there. They may have got our ambassador killed, but they sure as heck got the gold out of the vault for safekeeping. You know, they had to pay off their bet with China, and so they said, "Hey, we don't have it in our vaults. Let's run the Libya, take theirs." You know, and we did the same thing with Venezuela. We bankrupted that nation, and they basically have to give up. They're puking up their gold to London. So yeah, absolutely. And when enough people that we can't do that to have enough gold, yeah, then the gloves are off.
I think they are just about off, and Syria will be the flashpoint. Even though everything doesn't center on Syria, it is the flashpoint of activity. I mean, Hillary Clinton said in debate number 2, "I'll impose a no-fly zone in Syria." And I said, "You just declared war on Russia, lady." The craziness. Absolute craziness. At least with Trump, he says he wants to talk to the Russians. And by the way, Bob, you're not talking to someone. You'd be hard-pressed to find another more hardline Putin opponent than myself. The only thing I've said favorable to him, he's a better leader for his people than the one we've had for the last 8 years. And that's because we've had a traitor in the White House. I have written, and I went back and counted after I was named in the Washington Post as a Russian subversive, I've written 17 articles critical of Vladimir Putin. 3 years ago, I had a major feud with the Russian media after I appeared on Voice of Russia, and they tried to mischaracterize everything I said, and I went after them lock, stock, and barrel, and that feud continues to today. And to accuse me of a Russian subversive, are you kidding me? I expose Russian troop movements in this country. They've been invited in here by FEMA through a bilateral agreement that I have published on my website, and I have been in extreme opposition to that, and yet they call me a Russian subversive. This is just insanity what's coming, you know, out of the left right now. And you've got to be feeling it too, because you're taking a conservative-based approach. In my opinion, I think you have some novel ideas that we're going to get into in just a minute, but you have a conservative-based approach that's filled with common sense, caution, and reason. So you got to be looking at these people through the same lens I am. They're wackos.
Oh, for sure. But they're worse than wackos. They're psychopaths. And so these people have no compunction to kill you and then go to dinner. I may sound a little bit of hyperbole, but I mean, these people, they have no soul. So, I mean, they can care less. It's all about the mission for these people. You know, lying doesn't matter. I just saw an article the other day where one of the Stanford professors basically said it doesn't even matter if climate change is bogus, because it enhances the cause of worldwide equality. So, you know, to them is whatever hat fits that day, they're putting on. And so, you know, whether that means that they run over people like me or you or whoever to make it happen, you know, we got to knock these guys off at the knees before they take us out.
Well, you're trying to prevent people from getting their knees knocked off with TradeGenius.co. You've got some really interesting ideas about how people should proceed with their finances. Let's talk about a few of those.
Yeah, well, last time I was on, I talked about natural gas and I talked about real estate. Both of those did really well. And so, you know, gold, as we know, we have to get through this whole yen thing. But, you know, going into next, as I said before, is that real estate's in big trouble. You know, if you think about it from a secular standpoint, you got the Amazon effect, you got the Obamacare effect, you got the aging America effect, and now you have the rising interest rate effect. And so all of those are coming together that commercial real estate is basically dead. And so there are ETFs out there, exchange-traded funds, that are good for you to hedge your portfolio with if you have real estate. And so, you know, in a rising interest rate environment, if Yellen comes through and what she's trying to do is that it's going to become very difficult for you to get your value out of your real estate holdings. And so you need to be able to hedge that. And so that's our one theme. Our second theme is with the cold is natural gas. And so right now it already ran up almost 40%, Dave. It's taking a breather, and we're going to go into another set of cold. It's going to go up again, and we're going to go from $3 to $4.50 in natural gas. And so people need to be able to pay their bills, so they want to be in these things that are going to go up with the things. And these things are all outside of the Federal Reserve's ability to persuade. And then food. You know, once we come out of this spring, you know, we're already getting reports that the winter kill on the spring wheat in the western plains is already taking shape. That means no spring wheat. So it's going to start causing some issue. China and Russia have absolutely been frozen, and we're going to go into the third or fourth winter where Northwest Europe is going to have failed harvests. And what saved us this year was El Nino, that Russia had a bumper crop. Well, they're not going to have it next year. And people talk about stockpiles that are going to keep prices down. Well, stockpiles only last a couple of years before they rot. So, you know, people need to start taking positions in grain ETFs like JJG and DBA and have natural gas and have real estate short fund, which is the REK that I talked about before. And so, and then when the Federal Reserve realizes, oh, darn, we really screwed up, and they get dovish again, silver and gold and platinum and palladium are going to go through the roof.
So these
are the themes that we're working from, and then the stock market in general is just going to suffer. And so and then I think we'll go into some sort of economic malaise. So those are the macro themes that we work from, and then what we try to do is what we try to swing trade these ideas so that we can pick up a couple percentage points on each of these trades each week or so that we could build our portfolios over time and try to buy it at the best possible price and continue to build our nest eggs. So that's what we do at Trade Genius.
How can people participate and become part of your team, which has been very profitable for the participants?
Yeah, so what they can do is we have videos every day that we put out at the Trade Genius site, and it's on YouTube, so you can just Google and look those up. Those are free. And then we offer training every month. That's fee-based, Dave, but it's very, very low cost. And, in fact, if you become an annual member with us, all the training programs that we do while you're a member are free of charge. And so that alone is worth paying the annual fee, which is really reasonable as well. All the pricing's on the membership side of our website. And then we have a month-by-month. And then for people with smaller accounts, we have a program that we trade what they call binary options, which are smaller priced options that you can build your portfolio up over time so that you have enough of a nest egg to trade regular stocks. And so everything we do is affordably priced so that everybody can get into it, see if they like it, see if they can make money from this, see if this is something they want to do. And even if you're not a big trader, there are things that we offer macro themes where people can just get educated and buy something like we did for natural gas. We told people to get a natural gas first in November. If they just sat in it from then till now, they made 50% on their money, Dave. So, you know, so we can offer that kind of insight for people. And, you know, we're talking, you know, from the low of, you know, $30 a month, you know, to get this kind of insight of people who've been doing this a long time. And my partners, you know, that are involved in this with me, you know, come from the, they're in the marketing world, and my other partner is deep into the agricultural space in terms of the products that they sell to farmers around the world. And so, you know, we have some really deep worldwide understanding of what's going on. And as you know, from my background is that, you know, I was a strategic planner for a Fortune 500 company for many years, and so I spend all my waking hours, like you do, reading, observing, studying, correlating.
Right.
And so we're not surprised by things. So, you know, we try to anticipate those things. So that's what we do at Trade Genius.
Sounds
it's a
great.
Lot of fun, and it's a great community.
Well, it sounds great. I mean, it's tradegenius.co. Robert Kudla, great track record. And you can hear from this interview, he knows what he's talking about. Bob, thanks so much for joining us here on the Common Sense Show.
Dave, thanks a lot, and I hope to talk to you the new year. Be safe.
Okay, thank you. Hi, this is Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show, where we're freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Well, joining me, it's a broadcast I've wanted to do for some time, and joining me is Ronnie McMullen, and he's from GetTheTea.com, and we're going to talk about that a little later in this segment. But Ronnie and I have talked off-air about our mutual interest in the extraterrestrial phenomena. I mean, I'm still one of those people that I'm going to need a little bit more empirical evidence before I jump over on the other side of the fence. But I find it really intriguing, and it's difficult for me to believe, you know, just as a former statistician, that in a universe as big and as vast as ours, that we don't have life from other places. And the question is, has that life been showing up here? And Ronnie's joining us to give us his perspective of what's going on. In fact, Ronnie, let me preface what you're going to say by a quote from Jim Mars. I interviewed Jim about 4 years ago on this point, and Jim said to me, Dave, you really can't understand the politics of the world unless you consider the ET question. What do you think he meant by that?
Well, I think, in other words, the ET is so vast and so huge and such a different plane than here on Earth, which is very controlled and quite small. And I think that's possibly what he was thinking. So many people, they can't get out of the box. And when you're thinking about extraterrestrials and the many things that go with that, you're looking at something that is absolutely mind-boggling, and we can't even grasp it with our own brains.
Yeah, it would be quite the day. Do you remember the old movie, and you'll see it sometimes now and then, called The Day the Earth Stood Still with Michael Rennie? Do you remember that?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and the UFO lands, you know, in Washington, D.C. for all to see, and people just freaked out. Do you think people will do the same?
No, I think the media has been prepping us for a connection with the extraterrestrials when it all happens. So, no, I don't think people are going to freak out as much, but they will be stunned. I mean, I guess that's almost the same, but they're going to be stunned like, really? This is really happening? But it just depends how the cards are going to be played.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I've written about Operation Bluebeam, which would be a false flag creating through technology the false belief that there will be an alien invasion. And do you think they're going to come as friend or foe? Is it going to be a false flag? Is it going to be a true unveiling of the aliens themselves with no pretenses? How do you see this thing happening?
Well, Project Bluebeam is kind of a special... That's very interesting because it plays the religious card. And they're basically saying that the Messiah will come, you know, to, you know, Buddha to those that are Buddhist and Christ to those that are Christians and so on and so forth, Muhammad, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they'll do it with technology. But I think they're going to do it as a friend. And people, you know, let's go to Christianity for a second. Christianity, you have the rapture. And many people believe in the rapture and you're going to get caught up with Christ. Well, what if that was a white light getting caught up with? Another word for that in the UFO field is abduction. So they have the ability, I mean, we're talking about ships that are a mile wide and a mile long to snatch quite a few people at one shot. And a lot of people, oh man, this is conspiracy. And it's like, well, you know, when you studied it for 5+ years, and interviewed everybody there is to interview, it gets a little whacked out there. And I was always one that when I went to interview people, I would interview the ones that nobody would interview. And those are the ones that really gave me the most meat on the table, because there's a certain select people that just go around speaking all the time, and I can be honest with you, I don't really trust a lot of those people. But there are others that are kind of hidden under the table or abductees or what have you. They have gone the distance. There's no gain in it whatsoever. They don't have any books. They don't make any money. They're not on tour. And they share things that absolutely makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up. So I don't think the ETs are all one type. In other words, they're not all friend and they're not all foe. I think they're mixed just like humans are, where we have some really, really neat, good people, and we also have some really rotten, low-life people, and that's what makes up the world. I think it's the same in their universe.
Well, that's interesting. When you talk about these sources with nothing to gain, and they tell the scariest stories, can you give us a for instance?
Well, I'm going to use one of the abductees that I interviewed, and she's a sweetheart, very nice lady, very normal lady, very has children, you know, was married, had three children. And she said, you know, it's interesting, Ronnie, you know, when you get taken, first of all, you think it's just a nightmare. You just think it's a bad dream. But she says, what kind of dream is it when you go to bed, and she says, and I'd be wearing a nightie, and I'd wake up in the morning, and my nightie would be inside out. Or my nightie might be completely off and laying by the side of the bed with blood on it. And she says, and then all of a sudden you recall this so-called nightmare, this so-called bad dream, and you know you've been to another place, you've been to another dimension. But you're supposed to get up and go ahead and take care of your kids and make oatmeal for them, so you're on two different levels. You're on a level that you know what happened the night before and what went on in that so-called nightmare, and you're also on a level where you got to make oatmeal for the kids and live a normal life. She goes, it's very hard to do.
That's pretty scary stuff.
I think the scare for me is the health situation that went with her. The many things, and I don't want to get graphic, it's very eerie, but they definitely mark you, and they definitely are studying us, at least. And I do think that some of these abductees are very much connected to a military operation, because most of the abductees that have the scariest stories or that have been worked on, and, you know, I don't want to say surgeries because there's no anesthesia, they just do their thing. It to me is very much torture. And you know, unfortunately, a lot of our military, torture is no big problem for them. So I see this also being a military project, and most of the abductees will definitely discuss bases, and the bases are usually underground, and they're a mixture of extraterrestrial and human in the same being. So it's very, very, that's what gets me kind of eerie.
You're talking about the base at, I believe they call it Dulce?
Actually, no. Dulce's a very, obviously in New Mexico, and it's seven levels deep. That's a good sized base. But no, these are a lot of these bases. They're either some of them are under in Arizona. Some of them are also in Nevada. There's quite a few bases in Nevada, and these bases, you know, you go by a lot of rock color and the sediments that are in the rock and in the sand. And you get a kind of general idea where they might be from, but some of them are under in Australia. I don't know why, but it seems that there are more bases underground in deserts than there are any other climate.
That's interesting. I've never made that connection. I was talking to a friend of mine, and I get intelligence information from him for several of the articles that I've written. And we were talking about this topic one night. And I said, how real is it? And he said, he thinks it's very real, although this was outside his expertise. Mm-hmm. And he said, but I will share with you what I know. And he asked me if I'd ever watched this episode of The Twilight Zone called The Cookbook, where these aliens came. They were, I think they're called the Canamites, and they were supposed to bring this wonderful technology, which they did. But people would go up in their craft, and most would come back on pleasure rides. Some would never come back. Mm-hmm. They were part of the cookbook. And I asked him, I said, are you really telling me they're cannibalizing humans? And he said, yes. And I'll take it a step further, Ronnie, and I want to get your reaction to this. He said, Pizzagate, some of these kids disappear, they never come back. And I said, how reliable is your information? He said, very reliable.
Do you remember the milk cartons that had the children missing?
Yes.
There's quite a few of them, missing children. I was told one time in intelligence that the missing children, about 8/10 of them are abductees, never to come back. Many of them are being crossbred with animals. This is, again, underground. Dulce is a great place of this, as well as there's one in Las Vegas that underneath Las Vegas, same thing, and they had this also going in Australia. So it kind of lines up, and it's really interesting. I used to say this on the show. MKUltra and an abduction are so close to the same thing, it's not even funny. I mean, when you see somebody that is MKUltra that have all I'm missing it here. My mind's going blank. But when you have somebody that has MKUltra signs in them, it's very much like speaking with somebody that's been abducted as well. So they're, and again, that's probably because they're both military operations, or black ops is really what I should say, black ops, situations. And this is, to me, it makes me nervy, because you can tell, at least I can tell when somebody is MK or even abducted, and it happens all the time. I don't know why it's almost like they surround me sometimes, and I'll meet somebody and everything's good, and then all of a sudden they'll start talking and they'll say the craziest things, like, you know, been having bad dreams. And boy, as soon as I hear that opening, it's like, I gotta go.
So you have heard the same stories, that a segment of our population is being cannibalized.
Yes. It's been going on a very long time. And, there's a lot. There is a lot. It's we could make this a 10-hour show with how much is going on. I mean, that's...
Yeah, we're going to have to... We'll definitely do a follow-up on this. Let me share with you. I don't know if I've ever shared this part with you, but... You know, my father was former naval intelligence. He was retired early from the Navy with full pension so he could go to work with German scientists. Mm. And I asked him about the ET question. He did kind of a tell-me-all in the last 2 years of his life, and he had some guilt because he was gone a lot for the work he did, and he wanted me to understand, you know, some of what was behind how he had to live his life. And so he was telling me a lot of these things, these stories, about the Germans. And I actually met some of the Germans when I was very little, because they'd be in our house. He'd actually take them out, and they'd do work away from the plant. And we had the requisite Secret Service, FBI follow-ups for security, where they'd question the family and so forth. And so been there, done that. But anyway, let me tell you, I'll get to the point here of what we're talking about. I asked him one night, I said, what do you really think about the ET issue? And because he had told me before, it's so compartmentalized, he said he didn't get close to it. But I said, what's your feeling? He said, well, I don't know anything firsthand. But he said, the Germans I worked with, particularly the ones that were working with us on vertical liftoff craft technology, he said that to a person, they said they got this from the aliens. So my next question was, how many of these Germans who you knew actually had firsthand physical contact with aliens? He said one of them claimed to. The others were told this is where it came from. And but my dad did say, he said, look, I can't tell you this was alien, was this fallen angels, or what it was. He said, but to a person, he said they bumped their technology up about 300 years.
Yeah, the rumor had it that whatever the military has, they're 50 years behind. In other words, what we see is 50 years behind of what they really have got. You know, whether that's true or not, I'm not sure. But the things that that many of the abductees have seen and the different things that have gone on, it's pretty mind-blowing. And I do think within the next 20, you know, I was on a show, and he's really does a lot of extraterrestrial stuff. And I posed a question to one of his guests, and I just basically said, you know, ask them if we're going to have contact in the next 24 months. So it is my opinion that we're going to see something soon. They're going to play that. When I say that, they're going to play that card because again, it goes back to, you know, everybody thinks, and I used to think this even as a ufologist, because at the time I was, you know, like a Christian ufologist. So they were all demons, they were all bad, and so on and so forth. And it, boy, was I off. Not true at all. There's good ETs, just like there's bad ones. I mean, they fly over our weapons and shut down our nuclear missiles, just boom, just right now. And rumor has had that I heard that they have shut us down when we were basically going to take care of ourselves, because we as a people, we must have war in our backbones or something, because we're always, you know, they're always warring, and so there's some extraterrestrials that shut things down so that we have not been able to so-called push the button, what have you. And of course, then there's ETs that are very into the study of the humans and how the reproductive system works and so on and so forth, because they want to create a new breed. And so that's going on as well. So there's many different things and many fronts going on.
I've known Vance Davis. He's become a close personal friend, and he's formerly of the NSA. And his work made him brush up against this. And what he told me was that there's been a war out in the cosmos for eons, and basically it's good versus evil as we define it. And the prize is the human soul, and they've tried to crack the human soul unsuccessfully so they can morph God's creation in a mocking way, and then turn around and basically abscond with humanity right in front of God. But they haven't been able to do it, so they've come up with transhumanism as a substitute. Mm-hmm. Have you heard anything about this?
Not quite, no. I mean, a little bit, but not... No, not the way you're putting it.
Okay, well, I've known Vance for, 1993. In fact, what actually led me to him, there was a long period of time when I couldn't talk about my father's work. He died in 85, and my mother was getting his civil service pension plus his Captain Navy's pension. And he told me before he died, he says, you can never breathe a word of this as long as your mother's alive. After that, you know, you're kind of on your own.
Yeah.
And he said it might be decided by then anyway, but he said you can never say anything. Well, my mom passed 5 years ago, and I started actually just before that talking privately with Jim Mars and Bill Pollack. Bill Pollack was with the CIA. And I heard Vance on a show, on Art Bell's show, Coast to Coast, and I said, man, that guy knows what my father knows. So I thought it was safe to reach out to him, and that's when I made the association. So let me lead this into a question. He walked with me one day in downtown Phoenix, and we just walked the whole downtown area. And he told me, this technology is underground here, it's underground there, here's what they can do. This super secret, great technology, this craft, he said it's thousands of years ahead of what we have. And I said, well, what's it from? He said, it's from us a long time ago. We're actually the aliens.
I've heard that one. Yeah.
Very Richard Hoagland, I'm sure you've heard of Richard Hoagland from the Enterprise mission.
Yeah.
Richard Hoagland says the same thing. In fact, he said this on Art Bell's show also. He said that the aliens had to escape the planet. They were us. And now they've come back to look at what they've left behind.
Yeah, very interesting. Very interesting. You know, there's so many views when it comes to the extraterrestrial, you know, dimension, you might say, because were we created by God? Were we truly created, you know, by them, by the extraterrestrials? And I've heard both. And I have to lean to, and here's why. Because I've had, and I'm not going to mention names, but I've had interviewed some pretty big names in the ufology world. And it seems the bigger the name, the more, I don't want to say away from God they got, but to me, when we're created by ETs, there's some things personally that I see that does not line up. And so I struggle with that, and everybody, you know, it's like, oh, if you read a good book, then all of a sudden that information in that book kind of becomes you. You kind of take it on and you kind of wear that. And some of these people have been, you know, even to Truman, to President Truman, I mean, when you see certain things, it gets in you and you, that's what you believe. But it doesn't mean it's true, because we can be, you know, there's certain movies you feel like you become part of that, the actor or what he's playing, but you're not. You walk out and you know, people every weekend watch football games and they think they're playing the football game, but they're not. They're just watching. And I think it's the same kind of thing. So we really have to check our roots and really deal with the different energies and the different things that we've learned and what we know in our soul. And I think, you know, when I used to go out in ufology, I would carry my faith and say, you know, this is what I believe and nothing's going to change it, which, you know, that can be a dangerous point, but I wasn't allowed, I would not allow somebody's information to change me unless I could verify it. And it's hard to verify ufology. It's very hard because there is no bottom.
Yeah, you're right. You're so right about that. Such a slippery slope. It's not one slippery slope, it's many slippery slopes, and I couldn't agree with you any more on that point.
It's almost like, you know, not to interrupt you, but it's almost like when you're talking about the Germans coming over. Well, that's really what modern day CIA is the child of the Germans that came over on Project Paperclip. So here we have these Germans that developed all of this stuff. And so part of that is showing us a movie for us to believe. And mass media plays right into this. So the fact that there's very little UFO talk on mass media shows us that this is the big card they're going to play. This is the three aces, the four aces. This is what they're going to play, because there's no talk about it. Glenn Beck even gets on and says, oh, it's conspiracy. There's, you know, oh, what are we supposed to believe in, aliens? And so they're priming us for something very, very big. We should be very aware.
No, I agree with you, and I don't listen to Glenn Beck, no offense, but I don't.
And I don't either, but I had to grab that one.
Yeah, when I look at this issue here, I know what you're saying in terms of the issue is kept hidden, but it's hidden in plain sight, because in the media, in the concept of predictive programming, we are being conditioned for the existence of aliens. It's part, and some part of nearly every show. Sitcoms refer to it constantly. There are movies made about it. So there is a conditioning process. So when the real event happens, I agree with what you said earlier in the interview here, we'll be prepared for it. Well, yeah. We're just about out of time. And Ronnie, we're going to continue this. We're going to have a part two, and I imagine a part three, and maybe even a part 33. Is we're going to have to come back and I think explore this in more detail. It's fascinating, and I want to talk more about agenda and so forth and what they're up to, I should say. And it's frightening. It's, to me,
yes,
it's frightening, because there is an evil side to this, and that's, I know there's the benign, and I know there's the evil. This is what I've been told repeatedly by people who claim to know. So you're absolutely right. Well, anyway, you have a company called GetTheTea.com, and we're, of course, coming up here, you know, near the end of the year, and you're unveiling a new product, and I wanted you to tell the listening audience about that. I'm excited for you, because I think it holds a lot of promise, and it will help a lot of people.
Well, I am excited. I'll make this halfway quick. You know, Get the Tea, obviously we have a lot of supplements, and tea is our number one thing. That is the number one seller, but I've come across a product that I'm not going to be able to talk about. We should have it up on the website by the 25th of December, so by Christmas time. And I won't be able to talk about it. You're not going to be able to click on the product and read all about it, because the FDA will be breathing down my neck. So It is totally the most wonderful product, and you'll need to do your due diligence, and I'll try to lead you on the website. When I put it up there, I'll lead you where to go get your information so you know what the product does. But it is absolutely going to do incredible things to your body naturally. And it is a wonderful product, and it won't change your demeanor. It won't, you know, get you in a certain place. You'll be totally normal, except everything will start getting better. So I'm very excited about that. Number two thing I'm excited about is we have a sale going on with the number one product that we carry, which is our Life Change Tea. And if you buy 2 months worth of Life Change Tea, you get 1 month absolutely free. So it's very, very exciting. Christmas time is a great time. Love the gift of giving. It's a great time. And don't forget, Health Matters Now is my YouTube channel where we talk about little things, and that product, I'll be talking about that on the YouTube channel as well. So it's Health Matters Now. But I'm very excited about the products. We've got a lot of new products coming out.
Wow, that is terrific. So you've got a special on your tea. And how much percentage off are you taking off the product?
It's basically the $35 is a month's supply. So when you buy 2 months, you get 1 month free. Wow. So you're saving $35. So it'll get you 3 months. And here's the thing is this, you're giving the gift of life. I mean, this is something, whether you're buying it for yourself or you're going to give it as a gift to somebody else, it does so much for your body. It cleans your colon. It cleans all the garbage out. I mean, we're being intruders with our air, with our water, and so on and so forth. Chemtrails are just absolutely out of hand, and I hope somebody addresses that someday. And so this is something that will help flush the heavy metals out, help flush all the garbage out, GMOs, so on and so forth. So it's probably, I drink it every day, have been for 10 years. It's just that good a product.
Okay, that is, wow, that's so good. You know, I have tried some of the products you sent me, and I will tell you this, if you're not cleaned out when you take the tea, it will clean you out. It's not.
Yeehaw!
It's not like what you got to do before a colonoscopy, but it does clean you out. It's not severe, but you better hope you have a bathroom nearby. But it tells you that it's worked. The product is working. And I will tell you too. One thing I noticed is that when you get cleaned out, or you're in the process of cleaning out, your energy level improves.
Yes, it goes way up. And, people that are fighting diseases, please listen to me. The tea is wonderful because it's going to let, when you clean your colon out, you're letting all your organs feed off of the nutrients that should be instead of having like a clogged pipe. So it's really a powerful thing. So if you guys are fighting things that are not good with you, drink the tea. It's really good tasting and it will clean you out. And it's not going to clean you out like crazy. The more you drink it, the more it just works perfectly, and you don't have to go, oh my gosh, where's the bathroom? So it always gets better as you keep using it.
Exactly. That's what I've discovered too. Well, Ronnie, it's been great having you on. I love these visits. I think we've hit kind of a motherlode topic. Of course, we've been pretty situational. We tend to cover, what's timely in the news, but the alien issue has always fascinated me. Since I was a little boy and I first heard about Betty and Barney Hill, and that got me going, and I thought, wow, that's fascinating. But then the left side of my brain kicks in. You know, I'm a former stat and research professor. I just do psych and soc now. But so that part of me kicks in and I go, okay, I need empirical proof here. And without empirical proof, I'm not going to draw any conclusions. So I'm caught between the two worlds, but it's great to come on here and consider the possibilities of what could be. Because I think what could be is probably what is. Ronnie, thanks for joining us. It's been great.
Thank you so much, Dave.
Ronnie McMullen, getthetea.com. Check it out. It's great stuff. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back here in the next segment.
With the rise of domestic terrorism and stricter gun laws to contend with, Americans are searching for better ways to be prepared for any situation. How are they doing that? Simply put, a flashlight. And not just any flashlight, the TC-1200 military-grade flashlight from OneTac.com. It has just been released to the public for the first time and is already selling out, and here is why. Powered by the most advanced Cree LED technology in marketing today, makes the TC-1200 the most powerful single LED flashlight for its size. It's amazingly bright with up to 1,200 lumens, has a lamp life of 100,000 hours, and is made from military-grade aluminum for extra durability. It is compact and lightweight, which makes it perfect for taking with you anywhere you go. At 75% the regular price and free shipping, the OneTac TC1200 is the only high-powered flashlight you will ever need in your arsenal. Visit OneTac.com today before they're out of stock. OneTac. Power, strength, and protection.
Hi, this is Dave Hodges, and you're listening to The Common Sense Show, where we're freeing America one enslaved mind at a time, and we're pleased to have on the line with us Paul Martin, and Paul never seems to run out of observations and news that we need. Paul, thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me on. It's good to be back.
Yeah, but we may not be saying that after we get done with what we're going to talk about, because it's hide under the bed kind of stuff. Paul, let me start here, and then we'll delve into and spend the bulk of our time on what you're seeing and hearing about in Colorado. Out here where I live, northwest of metropolitan Phoenix, and this has some of my community members in a tizzy. We had a meeting in my living room this week about the very things I'm about to reveal. I want people to hear this. In December, I witnessed a military caravan going into the Toyota Proving Grounds. And remember, I live in the middle of nowhere. My road that comes from a highway. I live 6 miles off the highway, 20 miles north of the city. And my road that I exit to enter my area where I live, it dead ends 6 miles, 7 miles to the west of me at the Toyota Proving Grounds. And I followed a convoy last December of combat troops in woodland camouflage, which is unusual. They should be in desert. And they had the M16s. I mean, I could see pretty clearly, but I was far enough back and couldn't get around all the traffic. And I saw them enter the Toyota Proving Grounds, and that thing is locked up tighter than a drum. Well, that was December, and I thought, okay, interesting, I'll make note of it, but didn't do anything with it. And about 2 months ago, we've seen a steady stream of trucks going to the Toyota Proving Grounds 24/7. They go in with their load, they come out with their dirt, and now they've actually got the wheels up, and you can't tell what they're taking in. And recently, we've seen some cement trucks and so forth, and some people think that they have seen something that could be doing boring on a large scale, so they're clearly excavating. But, Paul, this is where it gets really weird. Not only did I have that sighting of the military last December, you could say that's coincidental, Dave, but my neighbor has photographs of SUVs that are military, tinted out windows, going to the same location. So there's clearly a military presence there, and it gets even weirder. I've got a guy who is a neighbor of mine, and we had a community meeting, like I said, earlier this week, and he was involved in the meeting, and he knows about road construction. Last summer, our road was reconstructed out here. Now, remember, we're low priority for the county. We live in an unincorporated county, and they don't care about us, and they totally neglect us and give us just as little as they can, and they came in and gave us, we went from third-grade road construction to first-grade road construction. And I wouldn't know the difference between 5th and 1st or 4th or 40th, but my neighbor does. And he said he thought that was highly unusual when he saw that, particularly for this area. And then we also have fiber optics being laid. Now, we have the crappiest internet you can imagine. And we got CenturyLink, and it's a total bait and switch. You get this, but we really get something else, and our community is up in arms about it. But just, you know, 100 yards away, 150 yards away, they're laying fiber optics all the way down this road from the highway to the Toyota Proving Grounds, and they can't do anything to improve our lot, but they are doing something big at those Toyota Proving Grounds. And, Paul, something else that's happened. My friend who knows about traffic said, Dave, those trucks were traveling an average of 45 miles an hour. Now, when you get off the highway, you go through a residential area close to the highway, and the speed limit was always 35. Well, they upped it to 45, and they're all up in arms because they got kids and driveways that back up to the road and so forth. But after you get out of that development, it's sparse development until you get out to where I live, and they lowered the speed limits from 55 to 45, and the county ain't talking to us. And they fear us because we had a battle with them and the feds and the internationalists years ago, and they know we take no crap out here. They do fear us, but they are ignoring us. As we told them, what you're doing makes no sense, but they changed the speed limit to 45, which matched, according to people who have timed these trucks, that's their average speed. So we're getting our entire community turned upside down for something military, something extremely big, where these trucks have been running 2 months, morning, noon, night, midnight, doesn't matter, and they're doing something there. Now, they could be constructing a safe zone because we know they're excavating. I will tell you that there's a strong sentiment in my neighborhood that they think this is a FEMA camp. And what a great place to hide it out of plain sight because you can't get access to it. Restricted airspace, and also it has been rezoned to a military governance area. So, Paul, that's a pretty bizarre set of circumstances, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely.
Now, I'd like to say this before we jump into Colorado. All over the country, 4 and 5 times a day, I'm getting emails that parallel the kind of things that I just told. So I've saved us a lot of time because I won't read through, oh my gosh, probably the last month, Paul, I probably have somewhere between 75 and 80 emails on this topic. And this is going on in my community, Dave, and I'm seeing these foreign soldiers, and it's incredible what we're seeing and what people are seeing across the country as we inch towards war and martial law. All right, Paul. I'm done being long-winded. Let's go to Colorado, and I want to throw the mic back at you, and I want you to tell the listening audience what you know is going on.
Well, I've been seeing where I live is fairly, you know, it's not really remote. I'm about 6 miles east of I-25, almost to the Wyoming border. But we've had I'm kind of on high ground. I'm about 800 yards from the highway that goes from I-25 to 85 that runs north and south from Cheyenne all the way to Denver. And we've been seeing a lot of, or I have, and other people have been calling me, seeing a lot of white vehicles in this area. And they're going both directions. They're going east and west. And a good friend of mine, a former Navy and a police lieutenant, a vice squad officer, and the guy's amazing. He didn't miss anything. And just outside of La Porte, heading towards Laramie, was about a 24 footer. It was not an American camo. It was something. It was mixed between green and tan. It was wasn't an OD green. It was just a very strange color, but it had palm leaves on the doors. It was about a 24 footer, and it had mounted guns midway down the vehicle. The windows were very dark. Two sets of duals. It was very heavy, very armored. So I'm trying to find out who's. I've been busy putting up hay for the winter and everything. But I'm going to try to find out whose army uses palm leaves on their doors. And we had a lot of about 15 OD green camouflage run through La Porte this morning. So we've got an immense amount of activity out here.
Well, what do you attribute it to? I mean, what's your sense when you know the type of vehicles and that they're probably foreign in nature? What do you know about this?
Well, the one thing we can't figure out is where they're ending up. They're white Suburbans, white Humvees. There's nothing on the doors. There's no UN markings or anything, but they've got a really nondescript plate with just a couple letters and a couple of numbers, and that's it. The plates are white. So, you know, we've done on previous podcasts, I mean, we're ground zero for all kinds of troops here. Well, now we're seeing an increase, an uptick in white vehicles, and running some very strange route. I mean, this is farm country out here, small ranches, horses, and small cattle operations and stuff like that. And so they're coming the back channel. They've got to be coming off of Highway 85 and going west towards I-25, and they're coming off I-25 and then heading east. And but we can't find the end game. We can't find the end route where these people are going to. And they've been hauling. A good friend of mine works in a head of maintenance for a small town on I-25, not too far from us. And he's been seeing a kind of an uptick in they do move nuclear missiles down Highway 85, but he's seen an uptick in missiles moving too. So you know, this is just another brick in the wall, Dave. I mean, you're getting emails, I'm getting phone calls, and I'm seeing them from where I'm at. So we'll just keep digging and keep working. And the one thing I'm wondering about are where are they coming from, and then where are they going to? We haven't been able to figure that out yet. I mean, this uptick in white vehicles has increased just in the last 2 or 3 days.
White vehicles puts me in the mindset of UN. Any indication that's what's behind this?
No, I'm with you, but like I said, there's no door markings. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of black tractor trailer rigs going up and down I-80 across Wyoming. One of my customers came in, he was kind of freaked out, and he'd seen about 3 dozen over a 3 week period, and they have no DOT markings on the doors. You don't drive a tractor trailer rig down this country without DOT markings on the door.
So it's an off the books project, whatever it is.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, this guy's a long haul trucker, he's probably 58, 59 years old. And he was, and as well as the tractor trailer rigs, you know, he's seen, a lot of smoked out black Suburbans, on I-80. So, we've had a really large movement of stuff here just in the last 3 weeks, and here in my area with white vehicles with very vanilla plates with just a couple letters and a couple of numbers on them, and everything's got pretty dark windows. And like I said, we've had the SUV type vehicles as well as the Humvees. And my friend that lives in LaPorte, you know, they see them spotty sometimes, but he said, I've never seen that many, together at one time. And, we've had a lot of
Hello, Paul, did I lose you?
And through LaPorte and, traveling north and south. I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. We cut out for a minute here, but you know, they say the show must go on. Yeah, I get the picture. You know, and I'll tell you, Jill Kaufman, who lives on the other side of the state line from you up in Wyoming, she has filmed private military contractors linking up with foreign troops in fields, all kinds of surveillance towers being put in. This is what she sent to me over the years. I mean, she's really a good watch person. And this isn't real far from where you're at. I'm sure you've seen some of that stuff I'm talking about in my articles that I publish with pictures. Your area is a hotbed. And of course, you got the Gurkhas, which is an anti-guerrilla insurgency force that has been trained by the British, and they fought in Afghanistan. They're in your area. The Russians are in your area, as we've reported before. And let me throw this at you, and I mentioned this the other day in passing, but I have even more information now. In Boston, There are white vans, unmarked, no license plates, no one stopping them as far as anyone can tell. And then there's Red Cross vehicles tinted out, and there's no markings on these vehicles either. And it, since when have you ever seen a Red Cross vehicle with tinted out windows with no identifying plates?
Not my 61 years.
Yeah, I hear you, Paul. And this is what we're seeing in Boston. And the guy who sent this to me is a traveling salesman. And he's so freaked out by what he's seeing. He said in his last email to me that he was going to avoid the area. Now, only one of his photos uploaded. I think he has recently sent me some more, and I need to dissect this. Now, there's obviously a story coming in this, Paul. Right now, I just wanted to get the word out, and I'll tell you why in a moment. But there will be a story coming out on this as I compile a cross-section of what appears to be very reliable reports to look for these common threads and consistencies. And at the risk of sounding horribly paranoid, I will tell you what came up at my community meeting. Now, you remember, these are the people I live with in my community are rather self-reliant. They're intelligent. Most of them are retired or small business owners. So we're not talking the 100 million Americans that are on welfare here. We're talking about people of means and substance and many times education. And one of the things that was brought up, and more than once, is we need to start thinking about a community defense program for when all hell breaks loose. And I'm going to tell people out there, you're going to have people laugh at you, but you're going to have a number of people who will listen to you. If you do not have allies, you probably can't defend your property because most of your properties are too open. And you need to start networking with people for protection. And, Paul, everyone talks about food and water and guns and gold and ammo and all those things. But one of the things you don't hear very much of are building alliances. Do you have anything like this in your neighborhood where people are actually talking?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, most of the people, unfortunately, that live like real close to me are just brain dead. You know, they're kind of the Barbara Bush type. Don't want to, you know, don't want to infect my brilliant mind with, you know, quote unquote useless information. Absolutely. But I know I've got two families I've been working with five families for about 4 years, and so I mean it. I mean, we've got some really good people, very intelligent, engineering degrees, commercial pilots, former military pilots, and stuff like that. So we've done here what we can do. I mean, I've worked with some local police officers, I'll put it that way, that are very like-minded, know what's going on. And as far as that Boston deal, I was just thinking about my series of conversations with the East Coast. And he said 2 years ago, he said they're shipping in hundreds of military hospital tents, 4 million autoclavable 100% cotton blankets that can be reused. And you know, he said unequivocally, he said 3 years ago, he said bioweapons are going to be the weapon of choice they're going to use on us. And your FEMA source said exactly the same thing.
Yeah, he said if they can't get us under control, they'll resort to that. That's the end game. I totally agree with you. Well, we've been talking with Paul Martin of revolutionradio.org, and I would recommend everyone visit his site every morning and throughout the day for news updates. He produces on his site some of the best articles that are out there on the net. I'm honored that he picks up many or most of my articles as well. One of the things I'm going to invite the public to do, you've heard this, is I'd like you to leave your reports in the comment section. I'm compiling now, and I'm looking for common threads, and I fear that we don't have a lot of time, and people will wish they have acted and formed alliances as well as doing the normal prepping stuff. So please leave your comments. We'll compile the stories. I'll begin to put them out in mass so people can say, gee, I'm not alone, and maybe we should do what the people are doing there in Arizona, which is organizing. And I'm not going to be real specific, Paul, but let's just say a defensive plan is underway in my community, and we are proactively taking steps to make sure that we can defend ourselves. And I'll just leave it at that. And Paul, I want to mention here too that, as you know, the good people from Numana sponsor this show. And this is a perfect opportunity for me to mention the fact that people need to get out there and get your storable food right now. Food, water, gold, guns, ammo, natural health care, because your doctor is not going to be writing your scripts. You need to get those done now. It's almost too late. To take care of your storable food needs, go to numana.com/Hodges. Paul Martin's been very kind to join us. Paul, we look forward to having you back. And we'll see everybody back here again next time. Happy New Year to everybody. I want to wish everybody the most prosperous New Year possible. We enter the new year with a great deal of hope and enthusiasm as we overcame the globalists in our own presidential election. And I really look forward to working with all of you in 2017 to making America the best nation that it can possibly be, and a place that we're proud to call our home, and a safe place to raise our children with opportunities for the future. My thanks to our guests, Doug Hagman, Robert Kudla, Ronnie McMullen, and of course, Paul Martin. Thanks for a terrific show to these four gentlemen. This is an abbreviated version for tonight. We hope you have enjoyed it. We hope certainly that you will share these segments far and wide. We'll be posting them up on our YouTube where we post all our archives. We really do appreciate all of you. We love all of you. It's great to be an American, isn't it? Doesn't it feel good to be an American again? We'll see you back here again on January the 8th with all original programming. Thanks so much. Have a great week. God bless.